Well, who's made their Christmas list for Father Christmas yet? Some of you have. I wonder how long it is. Some of you may have written more sophisticated lists with directions on where to find the items. Well, I wonder how long the presents on your Christmas list are going to last after Christmas. And I wonder how long it's going to take Father Christmas and his jolly helpers to pay for the things that may be on your Christmas list. All of December, or maybe well into the new year. And then, of course, there is the food for Christmas too, isn't there? What's your favourite food for Christmas? What's your favourite food? Piece of lamb, did you say?
Roast lamb.
Roast lamb. Very nice, with a crackling on top. Wow. Well, in our Bible story, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to ask you some very profound questions this morning, so you're going to need to be awake, especially in the back row, because I'm going to be asking you some questions. Okay, here we go. First of all, what are you working for? What are you working for? Is it food that's going to perish, or is it food that's going to last for eternity? And if you are too young yet to work, and you can do your homework, if you're too young to work, you can still be figuring out what you're going to be working for when you do get to work, when you are grown up. What kind of food spoils? You can tell me, what kind of food spoils? This is a profound question with a simple answer. What kind of food spoils? Think about it. Hands up if you think you've got an answer. What kind of food spoils?
Food that's
not eaten, that's it. Food that doesn't get eaten spoils, doesn't it? Yeah? You've all seen that happen. Why doesn't it get eaten? Why doesn't it get eaten? Why do we never finish off the Chinese when we get it? Because there's too much, that's right. We had one last night. We bought a meal for two and there were three of us and we still couldn't finish it. We buy too much food and it spoils and we throw it away. Do you know in Germany the average family, and there's the Melander family from a town I can't pronounce, they spend about £250 a week on food. A family from North Carolina, the Revis family, they spend about £170. In Japan, an average family, the Yukita family, they spend about £160. In Italy, the Manzo family, they spend about £130. In Mexico, the Casals family, they spend about £95. A Polish family, which again I can't pronounce, they spend about £76 a week on food. In Egypt, the Ahmed family in Cairo, they only spend £34 a week on food. In Ecuador, the Amy family, they spend £16 a week on food. In Bhutan, the Namgay family spend £2.50 a week on food. And if you lived in Chad, like this family, you may end up only spending about 60 pence a week on food. Well, I think we could reflect upon that and recognize that we could all spend less on the food that spoils. Maybe we should try it this Christmas. Oxfam tells us that we will spend about £1.2 billion this Christmas on food that we're going to throw away and presents that are going to go straight in the bin because we don't really want them. £1.2 billion that's food that spoils. So Jesus said, do not work for food that spoils. The question, my first question is, what are you working for? Are you working for food that's going to spoil, or are you investing your life in eternity? And don't get me wrong, Jesus is not saying we shouldn't work, especially children doing your homework. Jesus does want us to work, but he wants us to work for that which is going to last for eternity, and not on food that's going to spoil. So are you working to provide for the essentials, or are you working hard for things that will never, ever really satisfy you? We were created to endure for eternity. We were created to work for things that will last for eternity. Now, what kind of things last for eternity? What kind of things last for eternity? There's a clue. What kind of things last? Yes. Faith, that's right. Jesus, in fact, Paul, the apostle, said, love never fails. These three remain, faith, hope, and love. These are things that will last for eternity. Faith, hope, and love. How does love and how does faith and hope last for eternity? How can it endure forever? Think about it. How does love endure forever? Any ideas? That's really heavy questions this morning, isn't it? How does love endure forever? It's really quite simple. Yes?
So you have eternal life in
heaven? I didn't quite hear that. Can you say it again?
Eternal life in heaven?
Can you pass the message on?
So that you have eternal life in heaven.
So you have eternal life in heaven. That's correct. That's for us as individuals. When we receive the love of Jesus, we have eternal life. But the other answer I was looking for is that when we share God's love with others, they too come to experience eternal life. God can use us to help others too. Now, isn't that worth working for? When you look back on your life, what do you want to see? A pile of stuff that's spoiling, rusting, or fading, or that's going to get dumped in the bin by your relatives because they don't want it? Or do you want treasure in heaven? If we work less for food that's going to spoil, we'll have more to invest for eternity. Today is our pledge day, our annual pledge Sunday. Let's pledge to work for food that will endure for eternity and not for food that will spoil. Here's a second question. Are you listening at the back? Second question. I've got one hand. Thank you. Who are you working for? Who are you working for? The people listening to Jesus thought he was saying that they'd got to do good works for salvation. And so they ask him, what must we do to do the works God requires? And many people think you've got to do lots of works to earn salvation. That's why Jesus said, the work of God is this, believe in the one he has sent. That's because eternal life is God's gift to everyone who believes in Jesus. And that's why Jesus said in the passage we read this morning several times, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. That's because God gave Jesus and his life to save us, to set us free from sin and death, to give us eternal life that's a gift. So we don't work to be saved, we work because we are saved. We work because Jesus is at work in us. And the question therefore is who are you working for? Is it yourself or is it for Jesus? In that famous passage which Paul wrote, he says it's by grace you've been saved through faith, not for yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So Jesus does want us to work. He just doesn't want us to work for that which is going to spoil. So who are you working for? Is it yourself or for Jesus? God has work for each one of us to do, working for him, working for eternity. So on this Pledge Sunday, let's pledge to work for food that will last for eternity, not spoil, and let's pledge to work for Jesus and not ourselves. And the third question is, how will you work for Jesus in 2008? Because God has given every one of us gifts and talents and skills and experience and resources and income and assets and reserves and savings, and above all, he's given us time. And he wants us to use all of those resources in his work, serving on one of our teams on Sundays or during the week, and through our pledge day, pledging to enable us to continue to function in the year ahead. I'm going to ask you to put your hands up in a minute if you can answer my question correctly. Have any of these people, David and Jane, Mark and Megan, James and Kirsty, have any of these people been used by God to help you become a Christian? Hands up. A lot of hands have gone up at the back. Fantastic. Second question. Has God used any of these people to help you grow as a Christian, closer to Jesus? Hands up. Okay, hands down. People probably in this congregation, but others who've moved on, provided the financial resources to enable these people to serve God and help you, and some of you, live for eternity. How about these people? Has God used any of these people, since they've been serving here, to lead you to Jesus? Hands up. Some of you put your hands up. Thank you. Put your hands down. How many of you have been helped to grow as a Christian, closer to Jesus, through one or more of these people? A lot of you put your hands up. Thank you. Well, that was only possible because people here, and some who've moved on, were willing to invest in our church's ministry to enable us to release these people full-time to serve the Lord and help you benefit in eternity. In 2008, we're going to welcome, God willing, Ro and Rita, and Francis and Georgina. Ro is going to be our associate minister, and Francis is going to be our curate. He's going to be training in a ministry, and our team will be complete. On Wednesday, we're going to be launching our Vision 2020 and our new five-year plan, so we'd like you to come on Wednesday to find out how you can be part of that plan, and we now need the funding to make it possible. Many of you have benefited from the ministry of these people, and we're now asking you to pledge a tithe of your income to enable us to raise the whole of our budget. And to do it, we're all going to need to pledge, especially those of you who don't yet give on a regular basis. As Colin has mentioned, we have a budget, and it's here in your hands, and the leadership team has already pledged over £75,000. I worked out that based on the number in our leadership team, the PCC and staff, based on the average income, it's around £30,000, that means on average our leaders are pledging 10% of their income to the church to enable us to reach our goal next year. And we simply are challenging you to do the same. And if you feel that that's too much and you can't do it, I invite you to ask any one of the team and ask them, have they gone without a meal in the last year? And I know what the answer is going to be. We cannot afford not to say thank you to God and give back to him a proportion of all that he's given us. We may need to review what we're spending our income on, how much of it is going to things that will spoil, and how much of it is going in an investment in the lives of others who will come to faith in Jesus through our church, by God's grace, in the year ahead. So in the same way that you've been blessed by others who've invested, help us ensure that many more people hear the good news of Jesus in 2008, come to meet the one who is the bread of life, and taste the food that leads to eternity. Let's say a prayer together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the bread of life. Thank you that as we come to you and receive you into our lives as our Savior and Lord, we can know for sure that our sins are forgiven, that we have eternal life, and that we begin an exciting adventure of serving you with the life and the gifts and talents and resources you have entrusted to us. As we prepare to celebrate Christmas, help us to reflect upon how we are investing the resources you've given us. Help us not to work for food that spoils. Help us to work for food that will endure for eternity. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.